What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Crimson Venue. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day on this beautiful Saturday. Sitting in studio, we got Conquer Monster. How we doing?
Hey, doing great.
Doing great.
Doing well.
Now you got your show coming up at Clark Planetarium, November 9th. The Interdimensional Exploration, is that correct?
Outer Dimensional.
Exploration.
And it's November 8th and 9th. We're doing two shows each night.
Okay. And how are you feeling for those shows?
Pretty psyched. Yep.
How was that first test run last year?
Our test run last year went pretty well.
Yeah, we had a great turnout. We were able to figure everything out before the actual first show. And it's been fun this year having more time to focus on a little bit more of the details of it.
Yeah, and work out the logistics. So last year we did two shows, one Friday, one Saturday, and they both sold out almost like within a couple of hours. So we're playing twice as many shows this year to make sure everyone gets to see it.
There we go. And are both shows sold out already?
Nope. Actually, tickets haven't been released yet. So it's Friday and Saturday, November 8th, and we're still working through the ticket process for that.
Okay. And you're looking all set despite the technical difficulties from last year?
Yeah, we worked out all the kinks.
Now, you were talking earlier that required the Clark Planetarium to actually install better sound system for you guys to actually mitigate the issues you encountered last year?
Yeah. A lot of it was just the dome's not set up for live performance.
Mm-hmm.
We were the first band to play there. They did have like a kind of like a radio show night one time where they had a little bit of live performance in there. But just to get regular instruments into their system, they had to upgrade a few things. And they should be good to go now. We're doing a full run-through on Monday, so that's when we'll really know what's going on. But
yeah, it is kind of cool to claim being the first musical performance in the Handsome Dome Theater.
Right. And what sparked that idea to perform there?
It was first brought up. So Clark was reaching out to artists, visual artists. They had a bunch of equipment, a bunch of software that they wanted to make available to local artists. And they reached out to the Utah Arts Alliance. And they're like, do you know any artists that would fit this bill that can do some music, can do some visuals, maybe even sci-fi themed? And so they, we had a pretty good relationship with Utah Arts Alliance, and so they reached out to us, and then we started talking to Clark about the details.
Okay.
Those are pretty much our three check boxes: sci-fi, music, and video.
Yeah. There we go. Gotta have it all. Yeah, talking to my exec, he was so excited about this interview because I guess you guys had played at Treefort before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've played a couple of years now. Yeah, we played earlier this year.
What do you think of that whole festival, Treefort?
We keep going
awesome.
Back. Yeah, we love playing Treefort. We actually just love the vibe of Boise. So
really?
Mm-hmm.
The downtown is spectacular, especially with mm-hmm. that, the whole dynamic of you, what, like four or five shows going on at various bars, mm-hmm. and you just go bar hop in and listen to great mm-hmm. music.
Yeah, their downtown is awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, what about shows post November 9th? Anything in the works? Any ideas of where to go from there?
Nothing scheduled right now. We actually kind of took this year off because last year was our busiest year on record. We played multiple festivals, worked on this dome project, and just did a bunch of really cool shows. Opened for John Mouse, Magic Sword, you know. Did a lot of cool things in our mind, and we were kind of set and kind of needed a break to recuperate and kind of get some fresh ideas flowing again.
Okay.
Yeah. Our big goal, though, is to do this in other planetariums outside. The big dream is to do a planetarium tour. And we have a couple contacts that we're working through with that, so it's kind of in the process, the early stages, but that's our kind of our dream.
Okay.
What to do with this.
Yeah, so this might potentially be the last running of this version of Outer Dimensional Exploration. it was kind of a proof of concept, and we've done some upgrades this year, but we'll probably redo a lot of it this year and then get that ready to do some sort of national global release.
All right. So when you have to take time away from all the busyness of life to create new content, what does that sabbatical look like? I've interviewed many people who read various crazy books, or, you know, go to strange lands to go and, I don't know, get in tuned with their music. What does that look like for you guys?
For me, it's going to mostly consist of getting all of our stuff in one place, because we both have just a ton of equipment that when we practice, we don't even use a fourth of it. And so for me, I would like to, you know, rent a space for a month, or, you know, get some cabin somewhere for 2 weeks and bring all of our stuff and see what we can do with everything in one room, and kind of just add more nuances than we have in the past because we have all of these gadgets at our fingertips.
Yeah, a lot of time when we're writing music, we'll have like a rough idea with a starting place, but I think the best stuff we do is as we just jam and play and play and play and play. And so doing what Daniel just described, I think, is going to really give us our best work if we just have everything set up and we have a lot of time to just mess around. I feel like our stuff just grows, like, because we record stuff, add to it. Like, on our last album, I think most songs went through 10 or so revisions. And it's just kind of our writing process that we go through.
Okay.
And, well, when we went through that process, we were writing a comic book at the same time, or we were collaborating with a comic book maker to do a concept album for a comic book and an album. So this time around, the concept is heavily revolving around outer dimensional exploration. So a lot of the stuff we're writing is for this film idea that we're kind of building on right now.
Okay. And going back to the equipment, I'm curious about the excess equipment that you have. When you have such equipment, did you use it once and just never use it again? Is that why you have just a backlog of?
I think we just like collecting. I have my first synthesizer still that I bought 15 years ago. So, you know, that's in the backlog, but I don't use it very much. Mm-hmm. It's a Korg Delta. It's a 1979 synth. You know, it's a little scratchy. Doesn't work like it did when it was first made, probably. So.
That's part of the aesthetic, right?
I love that synth. It's just, it hasn't made its way on an album yet, you know.
That's so, to come, right?
Yeah, so I just have a bunch of synths that, I don't know, it's just like collecting whatever else, I guess. I like it to just collect and have a wide variety of sounds and history and just cool things to kind of mess around with.
Yeah, for me, a lot of the equipment I use is either, most of it's modified by me. And my stuff's like obsolete computing equipment. So I currently, like, live, what I use are two Commodore 64s and a Game Boy. But I have a bunch of like circuit bent synths and like Speak and Spell, Speak and Read that have been modified into instruments. And hauling that stuff like every week to practice is just tiring. And so we end up just playing around with our live setup. And yeah. So being able to access everything at once would be nice.
Yeah. So for a few years, we would do the STEM building for Craft Lake City, where we'd bring a lot of the circumvent instruments and some of the weirder stuff that we use. And that's always really fun. So that kind of, we always, whenever we're playing around with it in that environment with people and sharing it, we're like, we need to sample this. We need to, you know, somehow incorporate this, because it's like it has a soul of its own when you're working with circuit bent instruments.
All right. Well, cool. How did the duo get started? How did Conquer Monster originate?
Let's see. Conquer Monster used to be Josh and our friend Ryan, and I saw them perform at a house party. And I just immediately geeked out on all the stuff they were using, and I was like, well, this is all the stuff I use. And we just kind of talked all night about music and gear. And then I think it was like 6 months later, just straight up out of nowhere, Josh wrote me and said, like, literally immediately, he's like, do you want to be in our band? Without even ever seeing me play or hanging out again. So, you know, the next time I saw them, I was bringing over my synths, and we were playing in Ryan's basement. And then that's kind of how that got started. We played together as a three-piece for about a year, and then Ryan decided to move on and do some other stuff. So then Josh and I started heavily writing Metatransit, which is the first album we put out together in 2015.
Yep.
And how about another album? Is another album to be expected?
Yeah, that's the goal. It'll it's going to be based heavily around what we're doing for Outer Dimensional Exploration. We've talked for a long time about doing a film, like a full length film, and doing a soundtrack to that. And then that opportunity with Clark Planetarium came around, and so that's when we started kind of condensing it down to about a half an hour performance that mixes video and live performance. But through that process, we've come up with new songs, and I think we're just going to continue with those and hopefully get a full-length album is the end goal for that.
Okay. Now, prior to you joining, you said that you met him at a house party. Were you an independent artist at the time, doing your own?
I was collecting, because this was in 2012 that we met. And so before that, I was collecting synths, and I was writing my own just in my room kind of stuff, looping and messing with drum machines, but I hadn't like played live before ever, so.
Some of that stuff ended up becoming Conquer Monster songs.
Oh, that's true.
So like, it was kind of interesting. You were
writing stuff for
Conquer Monster before you were in Conquer Monster.
Yeah, because towards the end, well, as I got more comfortable with the guys, I started just, here's a backlog of stuff I've been writing, and I think that, you know, we could elaborate on this. And so the first song that we wrote for Metatransit happened long before we started working on that album, because a lot of the time I can just lay down some tracks and Josh can perfectly accompany them. It's something that makes our dynamic really great, is I can, you know, kind of give a bass skeletal feeling to a song, and then he can just overlay on top of that with some nice accents, and then we just start going back and forth, and before we know it, we have this really, you know, full composed song.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And was it the dynamic of Conquer Monster that allowed you to perform live? You had this backlog of all these dope tracks, and some of which you have since incorporated into Conquer Monster, so obviously they're relevant. But was it more so the dynamic of like having a brotherhood, of having a place to perform?
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. It's made it much more easy to do that. Mostly because I don't think making music is easy. I think tracking and compiling a song and making something a full product, I mean, not that you have to do that to perform live, but that's something I wanted to do with these songs, because I always had just, you know, phone recordings of something that I could probably do a 3-minute, you know, song set of something. But I'm someone who plays more traditionally, so whatever I can play with my hands, I usually don't play along to a laptop or anything. So I was kind of limited to what I had in front of me, which didn't really do the songs I wanted to do justice. And so having Josh there to play those other parts and to incorporate like writing more complex drums and stuff like that just really helped these songs evolve and become more mature.
Okay. But it seems like the limitations that you describe often create creativity. Like you're able to be creative with the limitations of what you have. Is that accurate in your sense? Or do you feel that it was a limitation? You could have brought this farther if given the proper equipment.
I think I could. I think I choose to. It's like sitting down at a piano and writing something. It's those limitations that help you kind of get the core to what you want to show your, I guess, who's listening, right? It's where you get the base of what you're trying to express. And then building on top of that comes later. So a lot of my involvement and like sort of the gratification I get is from that process, just sitting down with having one thing that I'm playing and structuring a song out with just that. Did that answer the question?
Yeah. You got to get the bass bones prior to getting into the, you have to understand the core of the song prior to actually embellishing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. What do you guys do in your free time? Like, what is Conquer Monster enjoying when they're not enjoying music? Or is it just work?
So it doesn't have to be related to music or whatever.
Tangential appreciations of life rather than that of just music.
I mean, Conquer Monster is my leisurely time.
Yeah. So we actually both have math backgrounds. And so we have, you know, day jobs that are related to those backgrounds. I'm a teacher.
I do mobile development for healthcare.
Yeah, and so I think if I'm not doing Conquer Monster and I'm not doing work, I'm just spending time. I have 5 kids, so
oh, wow.
I hang out with my 5 kids and my wife. That's mainly takes up the rest of my time.
That's a busy life right
yeah,
there.
That's a bit, yeah.
Honestly, a lot of our free time just goes straight into this project. Writing a script for this movie, you know, writing out a storyboard for filming the movie, and, you know, just noodling around with music.
Buying costumes.
You know, yeah, doing costume and set design. Trying to reach out to, like, local entities that we can kind of share this passion with, collaborating, working on the full dome visuals was very much spare time, had to do that. So I think, yeah, primarily what we do in our free time is Conquer Monster.
Okay.
Yeah, we both enjoy art as well. And so a lot of times we'll be like designing a sticker or, designing a shirt or designing a flyer.
We just made new shirts and stickers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, right.
And a flyer.
Heck yeah.
So
let's see. You can catch me at Bonwood Bowl every Sunday. So I like bowling.
Okay.
It's a little different.
It's Barnwood Bowl?
Bonwood.
Bonwood. Huh. Are you on a team?
No, I just go for fun.
Okay. You ever bowled a 300?
I have bowled a 289.
Oh, that's insulting. That's so close.
I know. I was freaking out.
What about you? Any sports?
Sports? Not really. I mean, I enjoy hiking and camping, things like that. I don't know if that's technically, it's probably not a sport, but.
Hiking, that, yeah. But yeah. Take that.
Yeah, okay. So outdoor stuff like that. Once again, with my family, but...
Might as well. You're here. All right. Well, I don't want to take too much of your time. I very much appreciate you guys coming in on a Saturday. And last bit, where can our listeners follow you guys? So Instagram, social media.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah, so we're on Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, Bandcamp. Let's see, conquermonster.com is a good landing spot. Anything Conquer Monster, it seems to be pretty unique. You'll find us.
Yeah, so Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever.
Making it easy.
It's just at Conquer Monster on all those.
Yeah, and then just one more pitch. Outer Dimensional Exploration, November 8th and 9th at the Clark Planetarium. I think right now it's 6 p.m. and 8 p.m.
Both nights, yeah.
It's a free all-ages event. You'll just need to reserve tickets through the planetarium once they release those.
And when is that release?
I'm hoping soon. So we have a full rehearsal on Monday. And
that's when we'll kind of
I imagine hopefully we figure out when they're going to release those.
Outer Dimensional Exploration, November 8th and 9th. You said 6 o'clock?
6 and 8.
6 to 8.
But the most reliable source will be just to wait till they post it.
Cool. Stellar, well, it was a pleasure to have you both on. Wish you the best for this upcoming show as well as shows beyond. Hopefully that the dome shows will kill it, as I'm sure they're going to kill it November 8th and 9th. But yeah, it was a pleasure to have you on. Wish you the best. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.